This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Coming up later in the show, the importance of incorporating bicycling and other recreational activities into city planning. First up, with expanding bike trails, bike sharing services, plenty of bike shops, a high rate of bike commuters, and a strong cyclist community, bicycle culture is rapidly growing in Cincinnati. Ride for Reading, happening this Friday, is a book delivery to a local school, Parker Woods Montessori, via bike parade. It's part of a national program designed to assist children in low-income areas in becoming healthy and literate. And joining us to talk about biking for recreation and commuting in Cincinnati, and about local Bike Month events, our co-owner of Spun Bicycles, Judy Lopresti, who brought Ride for Reading to Cincinnati, Board President of Queen City Bikes, Red Bike Board Member and Chair of Tri-State Trails, Frank Henson, and Ohio's bike lawyer, Steve Magus. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Judy, Frank, and Steve, thank you for being here this afternoon.
Great to be here.
Thanks. Thank you for having us.
Frank, how much has Cincinnati's bike community grown? I mean, how big has this gotten?
Bike Month is a program that was created by the League of American Bicyclists in 1956. And it's promoted nationwide. And since that time, Cincinnati has participated in our surrounding communities. But about a decade ago, things started growing exponentially. And our bicycling world has moved from the fringe of our community to being right in the mainstream.
Judy, how much growth have you seen in the bicycling community?
Well, since we opened the shop, I mean, I saw bicycles growing in Cincinnati years before we even had the shop. I mean, I saw, you know, advocates, you know, down at City Hall give us bike lanes. I mean, this was years before we had the shop. So I've been watching the community grow over the last, you know, 8 to 10 years. Since we opened the shop, I mean, commuting is just through the roof right now. I think we're up, 110% at least in the last 3 years.
Yes, Judy. Bicycle commuting in Cincinnati is the third fastest growing community in the country. We're trailing Pittsburgh and Detroit, but our bicycling community is growing.
For years, because I was doing bike advocacy in the 80s, and if you spotted them, the BIK, you couldn't get city council to spell bike. But, you know, it's kind of rotated quite a bit, so there's a lot of support for cycling on the roads, cycling off the roads, in the parks, in the trails. And so it's good to see this. It's just a huge uptick in the last 10 years.
Now, Steve, how do you think Cincinnati is doing it in terms of being bike friendly?
To me, we do pretty well compared to what I read about other parts of the country and even other parts of the state. You have to be – to ride the roads here, it's a little different. When you go to Columbus, you can see from one end of the county to the other if you get on a small hill. You know, they don't know what hill riding is, so it's like one giant bike trail throughout the entire county. Here, if you want to ride more than 5 miles, you got to have some legs and you got to be able to deal with the traffic, deal with the hills. And you tend to see, I think, a little more seasoned rider on the roads regularly here than you do in some other flatter communities. So those people tend to know what they're doing. They tend to follow the laws. They tend to get more respect from the motorists, I think.
Mm-hmm. Frank, how do you think Cincinnati's doing in terms of being bike friendly?
I think we're progressing. And I think we're moving forward at a good pace. We got a whole lot of things going on. The latest, greatest thing to happen was the implementation of Red Bike. Red Bike has been a phenomenal success. Jason Barron and Doug McClintock and their staff have driven Red Bike to be the fourth largest B-cycle bike share system. And it just recently passed 300,000 miles of Red Bike rides.
300,000 miles, that's amazing. Any idea how many people have used Red Bike?
I don't have that number off the top of my head, but it's somewhere around 140,000 rides.
Well, the amazing thing with these bike shares is that there's very few crashes. I don't believe there's been a fatality in New York City on their bike share, let alone in Cincinnati.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yes, Steve. I think the last data I saw, there had been over 25 million bike share miles ridden across the country with zero fatalities.
Judy, what's your take on how bike-friendly Cincinnati is?
Oh, boy. Well,
I think we could do better.
I do. I think we can do better. I ride in the road a lot. I commute as much as I can, and I ride throughout the city all over the place, and I see different I see it growing in some areas, and I see it getting worse in some areas. Over by the college, we could use some signage. We could use some education. I do believe it's getting better. I have ridden in the street for years and years and years. I didn't even have a driver's license till I was 30, so I've been riding a bike for my own transportation for years and years. And I think that we are getting better, and I think the more that we talk about it, the more discussion there is out there, the more opinions get publicated. I mean, I think we're making more people aware, hey, we're out there.
Franca, you were talking earlier about there have been very few accidents involving the bike share program. Why do you think that is, that no one's had a serious accident on bike share?
I think part of it's the design of the bike. It's a big...
Something anybody can handle.
Yeah, heavy, slow-moving vehicle,
right,
which minimizes the force of any potential impact.
What would you say Cincinnati could do better in terms of becoming more bike-friendly?
Well, we have a bicycle transportation plan that calls for an implementation of various bike infrastructure over a 15-year period. And one thing that would help contribute to improving our bike friendliness would be to continue to implement that plan.
How are we doing on bike trails?
Bike trails are doing well. There's a relatively new organization in Greater Cincinnati, Tri-State Trails. It's an initiative of Green Umbrella, and it's a 3-state, 9-county initiative that has designed and is designing a vast, interconnected, multi-use pass active transportation system.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join us. Any idea at this point how many miles of bike trails there are in the area, Frank?
I don't have that off the top of my head, but it's somewhere around maybe 200, 250.
Okay, and what we have planned for the future, what's that going to do, about double it? Or
triple it, quadruple it.
Wow.
Yeah. One of the exciting plans in the Tri-State Trails Initiative has been a program called Cincinnati Connects. This was a planning process that was driven by the project manager, Groundwork Cincinnati Mill Creek, and it has designed a 42-mile connected off-road active transportation network for the city of Cincinnati.
Anyway, you were talking earlier about how commuting is exploding. Are employers responding to this? Are they starting to put in more facilities for their bike commuters, Steve?
I think the more progressive employers are recognizing that one of the things that draws good employees to this area is the diversity of the transportation. If the people are commuting to P&G or to City Hall or to wherever, they're recognizing that you see more bike racks, you see more facilities. I know in D.C. when I was there for a bike summit, they had a bike parking that was built like a dry cleaning rack where the bikes would rotate on this giant thing and you'd get a ticket and you could park your bike for the day, and they would hold hundreds of bikes in a relatively small space. So we're not there yet, but we're moving forward.
We have a group of customers that have all bought bikes and started commuting, and we have commuter challenges. They all work for a small company called Gaslight downtown. And every day they commute in via bike, and all the employees bike, and they have the owners of the company, they have bike parking for them, they have like where to like roll your bike through. They have it painted on the ground so that when they come in and they all have hangers for their bikes, they just rack them up on the wall. They send me pictures of everybody riding, and we have commuter challenges. Sometimes I'll give like whoever gets the most miles in for the month, we'll give them a free set of lights or something. So we try to encourage it.
Well, the Dayton Cycling Club and the Cincinnati Cycling Club have had a battle for 20 or 25 years of who can get the most commuter miles, and people log their miles, and it's usually in the neighborhood of 60 to 80,000 miles by the relatively few people that are participating in those things, and it's usually a very close battle. So between those two small groups, there may be 150,000 commuter miles on bicycles each year. So it's pretty significant.
Yeah, so it sounds like, though, that employers can play a big role in making the community more bike-friendly.
Absolutely.
Yes, Queen City Bike sponsors what's called the Bicycle Friendly Destinations Program, and that's an initiative that encourages and it helps businesses and employers to become bike-friendly. And Queen City Bike works with anyone who would like to learn how to do that, from encouraging your customers and employees to ride a bike to how do you service people who are coming in on bikes.
Judy, as part of Bike Month, we have Ride for Reading that's coming up that you brought into Cincinnati.
Yes, so, this is my baby.
Yeah, I'd love to know how this came about. How did it come to Cincinnati?
All right. Well, a friend of mine out in Arizona participated in a book delivery at the Inner Bike, which is the bicycle industry trade show in Las Vegas. He participated in a book delivery in 2010, and in 2011, I found out about it, and I had read about it. And in 2012, the summer of 2012, right before we were opening the shop, I decided I wanted to bring it to Cincinnati when I got my shop open. And I approached Libby Hunter of Wordplay. Her organization focuses on literacy for lower-income children. And I said, can you help me make this happen in Cincinnati? You know, I just want to deliver books to kids via bicycle. And she was like, yeah. So that first year in 2013, we started off with a real small school downtown. It was a Latin school, and it was all boys. And it was really small. I think we had 10 riders and, I don't know, maybe 25 students. And the second year, we went way big. We went to Chase Elementary. Oh, I'm sorry. St. Boniface was our second year. St. Boniface was something like 200 students, and we delivered, I don't know, somewhere around 1,500 books that year. Third year, we did Chase Elementary, and we did 2,500 books.
Wow.
Yeah. So we like to have about 10 books per child, and we had 250 students. Coffee Emporium, Tony lets us store all the books down in the warehouse there. It's a huge effort. I couldn't help. I mean, this could not happen without a village. I mean, I have a ton of volunteers. We team up with different organizations in the city to make this happen. And this year is our biggest delivery. We're delivering probably somewhere around 5,000 books to 538 kids at Parker Woods Montessori on May 6th.
Yeah, so I want to know what the kids think of this.
They think it is amazing. They are so excited about their books. We have a Ride for Reading pledge that we do. It is just the best experience. It's probably the best event I get to do as a bike shop owner. So this will be my fifth delivery, because I did do a delivery out in Las Vegas at the Inner Bike Industry Trade Show in 2013. So I'm really excited. It's going to be awesome. And if you want to participate, you can meet us down at Coffee Emporium on Friday at 8:15 to load up. We depart at 9, head over to Northside. The kids will make you feel like a rock star.
So how many people are involved in the whole thing? Usually?
In the planning?
The volunteers. What does the bike parade look like when you're bringing these books in?
We some years we've had Last year, I think we had over 50 bicyclists show up. I mean, and it's crazy. We had pedicabs, you know. Tiger Ghost Rides helps us deliver with their pedicabs. I mean, we have people, Mobo, they weld bikes and have these crazy baskets on each side. Like, it's awesome. It's amazing. The year before, I think we had, we must have had 75 people show up. And that first year, we only had, 10 riders. So it has definitely grown from year to year. The bike parade is awesome. It's amazing. Frank's going to help me lead the ride this year.
Okay, good, Frank.
Thank you. Looking forward to it.
Well, it sounds like a great event, Frank, because it sounds like you're promoting health and you're promoting literacy at the same time with
exactly,
it.
Exactly, yes.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join the conversation. What are some of the other events that are going on for Bike Month locally?
There are over 70 special Bike Month events. And if you want to see what they are, you can go to www.2016bikemonth.net and get the whole calendar. The Cincinnati Cycle Club, which is Ohio's oldest and largest riding club, will be doing over 100 bike rides during the month. And one of the real exciting new events we have going, it's called Duckling Rides.
Duckling Rides, okay. Yeah. This sounds interesting.
Yes. And every Monday morning from five corners of our neighborhoods, North Side, Delta Avenue on the east side, I'm going to forget the other three, Northern Kentucky, downtown to UC, there are rides that are leaving about 7 o'clock. And you can show up if you've been interested in riding on the streets and commuting to work, but you're a little shy about doing it. There are seasoned riders to help instruct and ride with you on the rides. Hence, ducklings following the lead duck.
Okay, now I get it. What are a few of the other things that you have going on?
I have to look at my notes here. There was a time when I could keep 70 things in my head, but I can't anymore. There are some theme rides, like the color ride. You get dressed up in as vibrant colors as you want, and you can go around. There's a ice cream ride from North Side.
Ooh, I like that one.
Up to Putz's and back. That'll be fun. One of the big events is on May 20th. The week of the 16th to the 20th of May is Bike to Work Week, and that Friday is Bike to Work Day. And one of the bigger events is Bike to Breakfast on the Bridge. It happens from 7 to 9 a.m. on the Newport side of the Purple People Bridge, and there are all kind of activities going on, and we encourage everybody to ride your bike on down and have some fun with us.
Is there a website where people can keep track of all this?
Yes, www.2016maybikemonth.net.
Okay. We have a link to that as well at wvxu.org. Steve, interested in what you do. You're involved in bike law now. Now, how did that get started?
That got started way long ago, back in the early 80s. I was riding with the cycle club, helping out, and there was a little two-line blurb in the newsletter that said, help, we need some legal help. And to make a long story short, they had allowed their nonprofit charter to lapse. You have to file one piece of paper every 5 years, and they hadn't done that for 20 years. So as a result, the Cincinnati Motorcycle Club had gotten up and running, and we had to get them to sign off on being so we could use the name Cincinnati Cycle Clubs. It was too close. So I ended up, all right, I'm not a corporate lawyer, but I'll figure this out. And I ended up in a bar on the west side called Stormy's. And if you're familiar with Stormy's, it's the bar where all the Harleys are lined up in a row out front, and the sign says no colors, which I came to learn means no motorcycle gang colors to be
right.
shown.
Insignias
and I walk
and
in
like
as
that,
a 20-something-year-old lawyer with my suit and my little briefcase looking around for Butch, who was then the president of the motorcycle club, and I had to have him sign off on this form so we could keep doing it. So I started with that. I ended up getting a few calls and cases, and then I had a pretty big case back in the 80s. that generated some publicity, and I started writing about things for the newsletter. Then it started going to a publication called Bike Ohio. That got picked up by Bike USA through the League of American Wheelmen, which is now the League of American Bicyclists. So I started writing on a national level. So now it's been 25, almost 30 years later, and I've got probably handled almost 400 cases. I work with a lot of cycle clubs, a lot of nonprofit groups, a lot of rides where I offer to write the releases and talk to them about risk and liability and insurance and all those types of issues as well. The bread and butter is working with people who are hurt on my 9-to-5 job, and then from 5 to 9, I do bicycle advocacy through the. I sit on the board of the Ohio Bicycle Federation as well. So
it doesn't sound like there are too many people who are doing this particular type of law.
There's two or three in Ohio. I probably have done 390 cases more than those guys. But there's a few people in Ohio that do bike stuff, and then on the West Coast and on the East Coast, and in a few little areas around the country, there's a few of us out there. So we kind of keep in touch in various ways, but. It's a limited practice by a fairly passionate group of women and men who really are into cycling, as well as the, protecting cyclists, working with the legal side, and also at the state level and national level, even with policy and laws and those kinds of things.
513-419-7100 to join the conversation. Let's talk with Gary in Wyoming. Hi, Gary.
Hi. My name's Garrett, actually.
Oh, okay, Garrett. Go right ahead, Garrett.
Yeah, I'm a cyclist myself. I've recently spent several months cycling in Europe, and in cities like Amsterdam and Copenhagen, you have a majority of the population cycling to work every day. And in places like that, the legal system and the political structure is actually prioritized biking. In Copenhagen, for example, the roads are plowed in the winter for the cyclists before they plow the roads for the automobiles, and that's how it's legally done. And I was wondering, in Cincinnati, are we heading in that direction? And what barriers?
Years and years and years away. I really don't think I would love for that to happen here, but I
like for us to be more bike centric. Yeah.
I mean, of course we want that, but Europe. I mean, Europe is known for using bicycles and not cars.
And it's a very geographically, it's different and. And legally, it's different, and it's hard to just superimpose what works on Amsterdam, on Cincinnati, or New York, or Columbus, or Houston, or whatever. So, each one of these is sort of a unique breathing creature, and we're all kind of trying to breathe life into the bike community here. I think we've done a good job over the past 10 years making it a bigger, better place, but I don't think we're going to be Amsterdam anytime soon.
We're trucking along, though.
That's right. It's much better today.
Jill on Northside joins us now. Hi, Jill.
Hi, Joanne is actually right.
Okay. Boy, that's
you're two for two.
Sorry, that's okay. Joanne.
You know phones. Anyway, I was interested in your panelists who had been to D.C. To watch how they're arranging things. And I lived there for a while, and like you, very impressed with what they were doing. To accommodate cyclists. My problem there was you never knew which cyclist was going to, obey the cyclist rules. There'd be one who would be just right on it, and then three cyclists later, there would be somebody who would shoot right out. And
it's sort of like driving a car. You're never sure which of the motorists are going to screw up and
exactly.
Which aren't.
Exactly. I admired them, and some of them looked pretty darn serious. But I got very leery of all of them. So my question is, what's being done in Cincinnati to help cyclists understand there really are rules of the road?
And for the most part, cyclists know the rules of the road. And I think if we were to look globally, statistically, at how people ride and crashes, which I do statistically from a statistical perspective, Ohio is comparatively a very safe state, and comparatively we have a much lower rate of crashes and fatalities than many other states our size. So we're doing a lot of things right here. Because bicycles and cars are driven by people, I always say the odds are 1-to-1 that people are going to screw up. So, you know, car drivers screw up and people get maimed and killed. Cyclists screw up and people get angry at them for doing something stupid, but they normally don't maim or kill anyone. So we are working with education. I know Judy and Frank both, you know, we talk to cyclists constantly about the need to ride as you would drive a vehicle, because you are driving a vehicle when you're driving a bicycle. And you are a vehicle operator under the law. You have to follow all the pertinent laws that you learned when you were 16 and learning how to drive. And that's it's a constant mantra that we preach to avoid the scofflaw cyclists. And but you hit on a good point. It's a thing that people see. They observe a couple people doing something, and then that sort of forms their basis for analyzing cycling, when, in fact, Ohio is very safe, and most cyclists follow the law most of the time, just like most motorists do.
Queen City Bike and the Cincinnati Cycle Club regularly sponsor classes for bicyclists where we can walk through the traffic issues that need to be obeyed. And so if you have an interest in that, or if you know someone who does, go look at the Queen City Bike website or the Cincinnati Cycle Club website, and you can find out when and where the classes are held.
But the main thing, I guess, to remember, Steve, is that if you're riding a bike on the road, you're subject to the same rules. Stop at stop signs, stop at red lights, that kind of thing.
Absolutely. It's the same rules, same road, same rights. And there's a couple of specific bike laws. One says you're supposed to ride as far right as practicable. Unfortunately, the legislature didn't define that.
What does that mean?
Well, yeah. I've written quite a bit about that, and it means something different on Tuesday than it does on Monday, because practicable means reasonable and safe to the rider. So it doesn't mean a given distance from the curb. It doesn't mean a given distance from the middle of the road. It means what's a reasonable and safe line for you to take as a rider. In general, I think that means at least in the right tire track of where you look, as you look down the road to where the tires have worn the tracks, and the right tire track is not a bad place for a cyclist to be, because you're visible, you're conspicuous to people coming from behind you, you're conspicuous to people coming towards you who might turn into you, and that is a safe place to be. You stay out of the area where the car doors might open from parked cars, and those are the factors that cyclists have to look at: debris, potholes, sewer grates, areas where the water pools, areas where the rocks are, and those kind of things. And you don't want your cyclist wandering, meandering down the road. Oh, it looks safer to the right. I'm going to go over there. Then I'm going to cut back. And that creates an unpredictable traffic pattern. You want your cyclist going straight down the road and being very predictable and very conspicuous, a high level of conspicuity. How about that?
Okay. Practicable and conspicuity. If I said that right. Let's talk with Paul in Glendale. Hi, Paul.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to dissent a little bit about the notion that we should, as bicyclists, as commuters, act like cars. I mean, we're not like cars. If we act like cars, we're going to take up an entire lane and delay people who are also commuting. You know, I would commute from Glendale to downtown, and I would be in the shoulder lane and the parking lane. I had to watch for people opening their doors, but I would try to stay out of the way of traffic. So if I came to on Vine Street, if I came to a cross street that has no oncoming traffic, I would go ahead. I'd be in front of the traffic that way. Or I'd pop onto the sidewalk if there was no one on it. I mean, I was doing things that the bike allows you to do carefully. I was always observant. I was never in the way of pedestrians. But it's a very impractical thing to do if we're going to pretend that we are like cars. We're not.
I see your point a lot. I have... there's areas where I actually have to climb hills on the sidewalk. I live in Westwood, and I'll be commuting from Northside up Montana Hill. You cannot climb Montana Hill in the street. It's deadly. I mean, I just had a customer that was hit by a car, and right in that same going up Montana Hill. And I get you. I understand that. And sometimes there are things that you do have to do when you're commuting long distances like that, and you have to do what you have to do to keep yourself safe. I agree with that. But I also agree with when you can obey by the law and you're with traffic, do it. If you can, you have to stop at that red light. You know, you have to stop that stop sign.
the issue also, when you choose to cross the white line and you're in the, what I call in the game of traffic, then you should obey the rules. What I hear you saying is you like to ride on the berm or the shoulder. The danger there is once you cross to the right of the white line, you no longer have the right of way, which is the most powerful right you have as a cyclist. When you're on the road doing what you're supposed to do, you have the right of way. If somebody clobbers you, then you're in the right. Once you are off the road and you're on the shoulder, you no longer have the right of way. So every driveway now becomes a contest. You don't have the right to just blast past a driveway. You have to watch, see if anybody else is coming, and that person may if that person enters ahead of you, you've got to give up your space. And so you can be a more natural driver on the road than you can or should be on the berm.
Steve, speaking of right-of-way, I know Cincinnati has the 3 feet of space rule law that's in effect.
Correct.
Where does that stand statewide? Is that universal at this point?
It's not universal. It's in 20-plus states, and then it's been percolating in the state legislature for 3 years now, I believe. There are 3-foot laws in Columbus, in Toledo, in Cincinnati, and in a couple of other smaller cities. And the unique thing is that each one of those is written differently. Ours here is very simple. The one in Columbus is 3 paragraphs long. The one in Toledo is somewhere in between. The state law is a very simple one line that doesn't impact anybody.
You have to stay 3 feet away from the bicyclist.
You have to give a cyclist a minimum distance of 3 feet when passing. If a cyclist can put an arm out to signal a left turn and whack your mirror, then you're too close.
I don't know, Frank. Does 3 feet seem like enough to you?
I like to say 8 is great.
give them as much room
right.
as you possibly can.
That's correct, yeah.
Well, there's a move in some areas to, say, change lanes to pass. And mm-hmm. you know, that's not here, but there are states trying to get that done.
Frank, wrap us up real quickly. What's your vision for bicycling in Cincinnati? What would you like to see happen?
I would like to see us ultimately create a unified system where the vehicular cyclist will ride and feel comfortable on the road. The other cyclists who need to do commuting via bike, that we have the appropriate infrastructure on the streets to help them do that, and that we also have this great interconnected bikeway transportation system that's being promoted by Tri-State Trails.
One last call for this segment, and that's going to be Chris in Erlanger. Hi, Chris.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Quick question about drinking and riding your bicycle. What are the rules and what are the penalties for that? A lot of times people think of riding their bike as an option when they've been drinking, and I just want to know what the rules are.
The rules are you can get a ticket for drunk driving on your bicycle. In Ohio, in 2006, we passed a change in the law that prohibited those points from assessing to your driver's license. Prior to that, they could be assessed to a driver's license. And one of the first bike cases I had was getting a court order ordering the BMV to remove points from a driver's license for a bicycling infraction. But that was a lengthy process, and we were able to get that changed. But anything you can get a ticket for in a car, you can get a ticket for on a bicycle because you're driving a vehicle. So,
well, Judy, Frank, and Steve, thank you for joining me today.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Co-owner of Spun Bicycles, Judy Lopresti, board president of Queen City Bikes, Red Bike board member, and chair of Tri-State Trails, Frank Hansen, and Ohio's bike lawyer, Steve Magus. Coming up, we'll talk with the director of the University of Cincinnati's Niehoff Urban Studio and the Community Design Center about the importance of city planning that encompasses and promotes biking and other healthy recreational activities. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.